Mm-hmm. Have a sight of the world. So that people will be free to make preparation for leaving. I want to read a portion, the last paragraph of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 6. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the word of the prophecy of this book. When I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and fornicators, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This wonderful appendix at the end of Holy Scripture is full of precious doctrine. You notice the passage that we have read three times over. In it, we find the words, behold, I come quickly. If you notice the context where you find the threefold intimation of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. It's first of all connected with the word. And then secondly, it's connected with the bema. And thirdly, it's connected with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the three different times where we find the coming of the Lord mentioned, you'll find that that is the context of it. But when we look at the overall picture, we find four great doctrines in the paragraph that we have read together. And they're all given in summary. Now, first of all, we get an outline of the Word of God and certain warnings connected with it. And then secondly, we get a tremendous galaxy of titles of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the third thing we get here is the final intimation of the gospel, again in concise form. And the last thing we get here is the threefold intimation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we read that he's coming quickly. So when we look at it, we find a tremendous field here for not only for investigation, but also of matters that would speak to our hearts. So let's think the first one. We find it here in verse 6. He said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. So the first intimation here concerning the imminent return of the Lord Jesus is in connection with the Word of God. Now there are three warnings connected with it. And the first one is, don't put a seal upon it. And the second one is, don't add to it. And the third one is, don't take away from it. I don't need to tell you that the world in which we live today, that the Word of God is under attack. There's a man called Harold Lindsell some time ago, and he wrote a book. And the book is called The Battle for the Bible. You know, you find an attack on the Word of God everywhere. But here this first exhortation is, be very, very careful to maintain an attitude of loyalty to the Word of God. And that is important. First of all, don't put a seal upon it. That's what the carnal believer does. He may have a Bible, but it gathers dust and it's not very often read. But oh, what a joy it is to sit down and look at the Word of God, and every time we read it, we find something new and something very, very precious in it. The great foundation of our faith is laid in God's Word. It's plenary inspired. It's verbally inspired. And one would love to turn over to the different passages of Scripture showing that the Word of God has the authority of God himself upon it. And we have to be very, very careful that we obey anything that we learn from God's Word. So the first intimation here of the coming of Christ, it has to do with loyalty to the Word of God. Don't put a seal upon it. And then the second thing is, don't add to it. You know, in the world today, people that have the Bible, they want to add their own opinions and ideas to it. I was thinking the other day in connection with the Church of Rome, but there are 40 different dogmas that the Church of Rome has added to the Word of God. And they regard them as of equal authority. And anyone that would disobey them, that's mortal sin. But these dogmas, they're mostly taken from paganism. I'm not here to speak about the Church of Rome today, but it's outlined for us in the Word of God, and here especially in the book of Revelation. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. I believe that Babylon the Great is not only Rome, but every form of false religion at the end will be headed up in a terrible system. Rome adds to the Word of God with 40 different dogmas, and they regard it as of equal authority with the Word. You take, for instance, Christian Science. Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, she says that her volume, Science and Health, is of equal authority with the Word of God. And as far as the Mormons, that wicked, wicked, heretical cult, the Mormons, they say that the Book of Mormon is of equal authority with the Word of God. And they tell that ridiculous story about finding some place somewhere up there in Albany in New York, and they get a certain kind of spectacles that were given by an angel, and you put the spectacles on and you're able to read the Book of Mormon. And that's the ridiculous story that they tell you about the Book of Mormon. But they put equal authority on the Book of Mormon than they do with the Word of God. don't add to it. Every jot and tittle of God's precious word is inspired, and we're told not to add to it. And then the last thing is, don't take away from it. The liberal theologian and modernism today, that's what they do with God's word. Taken away from it. You know, there's some things in some of the new versions that you can't help but feel disturbed. I'm not here to talk about the different versions today of God's word. I think I have a copy of all of them. In our work in Africa, doing translation work, we try to get every version that was published and compare them. But some of the versions that have been published in recent days, they give us a good deal of concern. But all this precious book, and personally, I love my authorized version. The King James Version. I know that there's some things in it, and some words in it that are archaic. And some of the young people say they don't understand it. Well, that's nonsense. Anybody with ordinary intelligence sitting down and reading the Word of God, they can understand it. And some of the new versions, they're putting things into it. I think that gives us a good deal of concern. I'm not going to talk any longer along that line. I know that it's a controversial thing, and some have a hobby of pulling this version to pieces and the other version to pieces and all the rest of it. I don't want to engage in that controversy. But to me, in public reading, I love my authorized version. All the language that's used in it is absolutely beautiful. It's unsurpassed. And we do thank God for the revelation that has been given to us in God's Word. So here we find, first of all, don't put a seal upon it. Do you remember Daniel? The last thing that he said in his book, he said, close the book and put a seal upon it, but it will be opened at the end time. Thank God the word has been opened at the end time, and we have a complete revelation of the word of God at the present time. So here, the first intimation of the Lord's coming is, in connection with the word, under loyalty to God's complete and entire revelation for our hearts. Now the second thing is the person of Christ. And the great doctrine of Christ that we find throughout Holy Scripture is brought to a head here in the last page of the Bible. There's a galaxy of titles here, and all of them are most important. And I just want to mention them. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now here are five tremendous titles. And you notice right in the middle, we get the lovely name, I, Jesus. I, Jesus. And then surrounding this lovely human name of our blessed Lord, we get these five great titles of the Lord Jesus. Alpha and Omega, that is his relation to the Word of God. Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet, and it's what you might call the grammatical title. And here is the Christ, the Lord Jesus, in relation to the Word. The Alpha and the Omega. And then the beginning and the end. That is his creatorial title. It would be interesting to look at the different times in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where we get the word in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. In some contexts, it's the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And then in his epistles, first epistle, it's from the beginning. But in any case, that is the beginning of the revelation of Christ when he was born, at his incarnation. But in any case, he is the beginning, and he's also the end. In the first page of the Bible, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. and the hand that flung the galaxies into space, this wonderful universe in which we are, I believe was that hand that was nailed to Calvary's cross. He's the beginning and the end. And when the heavens and the earth are taken away, they roll away, the hand that flung the galaxies into space will be the same hand that will remove them. The beginning and the end, the creatorial title. And then the first and the last. It'd be interesting to look at that little term, that little word in different portions of the Bible, but I believe it is a dispensational title, the first and the last. And then we get him as the root and the offspring of David. That is his messianic title. It has to do particularly with the nation of Israel, the messianic title. And then the last one is, and the bright and morning star. That is his Advent title in connection with the coming. Lord willing, this evening, I want to occupy the most of my time speaking about the morning star. Beautiful, beautiful picture of the Lord coming for us. Our beloved brother in this prayer, he said, we have that shining in our heart. And that's what Peter says about it. The bright and morning star. So here is a galaxy of titles of the Lord Jesus. And right in the center, we get that lovely, lovely name, Jesus. I, Jesus, and it said that he's communicating these things to the churches. Did you ever notice that this term, the churches here, you never find it after chapter 3? The first three chapters of the book of Revelation, it's Christ in relation to the church. But from chapter 4 right through to chapter 22, the church is never mentioned. You remember that terrible, terrible tribulation that takes place. The church is not in it. But right at the end, before the book closes, again we get the term, the church. So we thank God for that. First of all, the coming of Christ in relation to the Word. And secondly, in relation to the person of Christ. But then there's a lovely outline here of the gospel. You know, if we want to find out the truths and the doctrines concerning the gospel, we would have to read the epistles of the Romans. It's laid out for us there in a marvelous way. But when it comes to the end, the gospel here is given to us in the simplest terms and in a concise way. Notice what it says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here we get the gospel in its simplest terms. And it's complete. The Spirit and the bride. By the way, this Holy Spirit of God is mentioned 350 times in the Bible. 350 times. But this is the last one. The last mention of the Holy Spirit is here. And it's linked with the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, come, come. And then the last one is take. Let him take the water of life freely. And then it says, whosoever. Well, that's John 3:16. What a beautiful, beautiful, concise presentation of the gospel. The final appeal is to come to him and take the water of life freely. Now the second mention of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus is in connection with the bema. Behold, I come quickly to give a look. Just let's see what it says. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. And so here, immediately after the coming of the Lord, the next thing is the Bema, the judgment seat. Again, we'll have an opportunity of going into this a little bit more fully later on in our meetings. But this is the second intimation of the coming of the Lord, and it's in relation to that time when we reveal at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the final one is the one that I just want to mention in closing. Verse 20, he who testified these things said, behold, I come quickly. Now, who is the one that's testifying? Do you think it is the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that wrote the book of Revelation? Notice what it says. It uses the personal pronoun, behold, I come quickly. The one who's testifying here is none other than our blessed Lord. He said, he who testifieth these things said, surely, certainly, I come quickly. And then John, he bows his head and he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. And I think we can all say that. So to look at this tremendous chapter and the concise presentation of some of the great doctrines of Holy Scripture, we just bow our head and say, thank God. He's coming, coming quickly. And the last one is, the Lord says, surely, certainly, I come quickly. And John replies, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. May God bless his word. A little word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we again bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for these very, very happy times of fellowship around thy word. And what joy it brings to our hearts to see each other and to fellowship with each other and also the person of Christ himself. Our Father, we thank thee for it. And we pray thy blessing upon each one here this morning. And Lord, again, we commend thy dear children to thee as they leave on this visit to other part of the country. Our Father, we pray for protection on the road. We think of some things that have happened recently. Lord, protect thy people. We thank thee that thy word says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. Lord, we do pray that thou will put thy hand upon thy children and keep them today and bring them back safely. And now, our Father, we commend us to thee for the day, returning thanks for all the blessings that we receive.